The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
Bringing you the ag information you need, this is Market Talk, produced by the American Ag Radio Network. Now, here's your host, Jesse Allen.
Well, the wheat market tried to remain the leader to the upside. Maybe not as much follow-through, though, in the grains as one would have liked to have seen on Tuesday's session. We're going to talk about all that more here today on Market Talk. Thanks for joining us. I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Always good to have you along for a conversation about what's happening with the markets and issues impacting rural America. And, yeah, pretty quiet overall in the markets on Tuesday. The wheat trade remain the upside leader. We really didn't move too far, though, from the moves that we saw on Monday. From Monday's closes, we didn't really go too far from those here in this grain and oilseed trade. Still looking. Can we try to find a breakout? It feels like these markets largely getting met with some farmers selling in quarter beans while wheat is looking at weather issues. We're going to talk about all of this coming up here today on the show. Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net is going to join us in segment two and three to discuss and give us his perspective on what he's seeing in the markets. So looking forward to that here today on the program. It's been a few weeks since we've talked to Jim. Always enjoy our conversation. So looking forward to him joining the show coming up here just a little bit. Also, we're going to take a look at news headlines. ADM's chief financial officer set to resign. That news coming out on Tuesday amid the accounting investigation there. We're going to touch on that headline and others coming up here at the end of the show today. Well, first up, let's talk market action. Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX, he joined us around midday on Tuesday, provided his thoughts with the grain and oilseed action, as well as some thoughts on just the U.S.-China relations. U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken set to venture over to China here this week for some talks with Chinese officials amid just relations being kind of at an all-time low, especially with that aid package passed in the House here heading into the weekend. That included some aid for Taiwan as well, not only Ukraine and Israel. So some more diciness to U.S.-China relations. We're going to talk about that. Also, Arlen shared his thoughts in this hog market as we went to test the recent highs on the day Tuesday. So here is that midday commentary with Arlen Suderman, chief commodities economist at StoneX, from midday on Tuesday.
Yeah, well, we've already added about 50 cents to the price of wheat, and so we've had a nice rally there. Corn and soybeans struggling a little bit to duplicate that because the farmer still has so much corn and soybeans that he needs to sell on both sides of the equator. I have noticed a pop in Brazilian selling of corn and soybeans. That's because we not only got the rise in futures price that they sell off of, but also they had a sharp drop in the value of their currency. And when you put those things together, when they're selling against Chicago and then converting it to their local currency, that really gives them a nice bounce in the cash price. And so that's caused some increased selling. They're still behind the normal pace, so they still have more catching up to do. And that's been keeping more of a lid on the corn and soybeans and why wheat has had a bigger rally to this point. Can it be sustained? That's going to depend a lot, I think, on what goes forward with the weather here. We're seeing the rainy season end early in Brazil, not as early as what we thought, but early nonetheless. And as I talked to our Brazil office this morning, they said, yeah, the forecast is dry, but the crop still looks good thus far. And very few areas of real crop stress to this point. Now, that may change in the weeks ahead, they said, but for now, we don't see any significant losses. We are seeing some losses in Argentina because of a disease in its crop, corn crop. But again, not enough to really take this market too high when the farmers still own some more in Brazil and the United States so much. And we have projected ending stocks north of 2 billion bushels. And those soybeans are just, the export market isn't there to justify higher prices at this point.
You talked about this in your morning commentary as well on Tuesday, thinking about China. I know there's some chatter out there about maybe some tariffs, steel and aluminum tariffs here from the U.S. and increasing those. I know for this week, U.S. Secretary of State Antony Blinken is supposed to be in China meeting with Chinese officials. I know the tensions between China and the U.S. their relationship's not great right now. I guess let's put it that way. What are your thoughts with some of this outside market news and some of this China dynamic that you're maybe watching this week?
Yeah, and I would say the relationship between the United States and the Communist Party of China is probably at an all-time low right now during the history that the Communist Party has been in charge in China. And there's a lot of issues, but I think the ones at the top right now are the fact that the aid package just passed by the Congress and sent to the president for his signature included better than $8 billion of military aid for Taiwan, which China will see as a direct affront toward it. And then the fact that as Antony Blinken, our Secretary of State, travels there for meetings on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday this week, we're also considering sanctions against some Chinese banks, limiting their ability to access the world financial markets because of China's aid to Russia in its war against Ukraine. Now, China is vested in being able to reunify Taiwan, and our military support of Taiwan makes that more difficult. China is vested in Russia not losing its war against the West in Ukraine, which is that's the way it sees it. And so those two things are really increasing the tensions, let alone the trade problems between the two countries. And Europe, much of Europe's involved in that as well, as both U.S. and Europe deleverage from China.
Real quick in livestock, cattle turning more mixed at midday. Hogs, though, looking like they're testing the recent highs here in the futures trade, Arlen.
Yes, we look at the hog market, and we're going back up there pretty close to where we were in the early April highs when we got overbought. And we've got some decent fundamentals beneath us. One of the interesting things developing there is the supply of hams. We had an early Easter this year, and with the dollar going strong now after Easter, ham demand domestically softens. But we've seen the Mexico peso. Mexico's one of our great export customers for the hams. The peso has fallen value versus a dollar strengthening, and that may end up curbing some of our demand there. But outside of that, we've seen better than expected overall demand, and the hog market fundamentals seem to be sound. We saw some good gains in the cattle of late. Now it's a little bit of a pullback, thinking, okay, maybe we've gotten a little bit too far too fast. Let's see how the cash market unfolds this week.
And once again, Arlen Suderman, Chief Commodities Economist at StoneX, joined us for our midday commentary on Tuesday. You can find that anywhere you download your favorite podcasts, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, and much more. You can find all those links on our website as well. Always good to talk with Arlen each and every midday and get his thoughts on the daily market action. All right, coming up next here on Market Talk, we're going to continue the market conversation. Are we starting an uptrend in grains, or are we already running out of steam? What about this livestock trade? How are the prospects looking there? Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net is our guest analyst on the show today. He's going to stop by here coming up next in segment two for a discussion on what he's seeing in the markets. We'll get to Jim McCormick on the way right after the break.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Keeping you informed with the latest market information for your operation. This is Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
And welcome back to Market Talk. Thanks for joining us today. Jesse Allen back with you as we look at some of the closes real quick from Tuesday's session before we get to our conversation with Jim McCormick. May corn was up 3 1/4 at 443. December corn was up 2 1/4, 474 3/4 on Tuesday. May beans up 6 1/2, 1167 1/2. November beans up 2 1/4, 1174. May bean meal up 90 cents a ton, 345.20. May bean oil up 27 points, 45.31. Chicago wheat, May 14 3/4 higher, 585. July up 15 1/4, 602 3/4. May Kansas City wheat up 11 1/4, 608 3/4. July up 11 3/4, 614 1/4. May spring wheat up 10 3/4, 666 1/2. Spring wheat for July up 9 1/2, 672 1/4. April live cattle down 47, 183.35. June down 90, 177.15. Feeder cattle April 85 higher, 243.75. May up 87, 246.05. And hogs May up 187, 98.57. June hogs up 245, 107.95 on the day on Tuesday. Well, let's talk about some of this follow-through that we got in the grain markets, the wheat trade. I wasn't sure we were going to get it on Tuesday, but we did, and that kind of spilled over into quarter beans as well. And as I mentioned, livestock, mixed bag, but a good day in hogs, really the only loser. Slight losses in live cattle. Let's talk about it. Joining us now for a conversation, Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net. Jim, welcome back to the show, my friend. How are you?
Doing well, Jesse. Thanks again for having me on. It's kind of nice to have me on day in the green instead of a day in the red, which you seem like you've had a lot of them recently. But no, it's another good day for the producer right now, I got to say today.
Yeah. And, you know, I tell you what, I feel like these markets, you know, getting a couple days strung together in a row of green on the screen is not something we've seen quite often here, really. Feels like the last couple of years here, Jim, that we haven't had a sustained, even if it's a slow trickle higher, we haven't really had a sustained couple of days like this. So good thing to see. Wheat again, the upside leader on Tuesday. We should probably start there. Sounds like a lot of weather concerns globally, just kind of helping drive some fund short covering here across this wheat trade that's kind of helping, you know, rising tide lifts all boats, so to speak, in the grains, Jim.
I think you really nailed it. I mean, what's going on, Jesse, is, I mean, we've got some dryness issues in the plains. There's a lot of rain coming in. I know some of our listeners looking at some of these maps and some of the QPF maps that are talking 1, 2, 3, 4 inches of rain for parts of Iowa and Illinois here the next 6, 7 days. But if you look a little bit closer, the western part of the wheat belt's not going to get a whole lot of moisture. And then now we throw in what's going on around the rest of the world. Ukraine, they've got dryness issues. Russia, which I would argue is one of the reasons why we've seen wheat prices depressed, because they've had back-to-back really good years. They're now dealing with some dryness issues. So you've got some weather premium coming back into the market. And then you kind of get a look at kind of what's going on the macro side, Jesse. Over the weekend, Russia started going after a little bit more of the Ukrainian infrastructure. And I'm just speculating and wondering, it's kind of a situation now that the U.S. has re-upped all those billions of dollars of aid, this war is going to probably lag, you know, looks like it might have changed the course again. And you just got to wonder, is Putin kind of taking this mentality, well, if I can't get it, I'm going to destroy what you have and maybe take out more and more facilities? Because in general, what he's been doing is kind of staying away from infrastructure as a whole recently. And now he seems like he's starting to come after some infrastructures. He hit some ports over the weekend, and that, I think, put a little bit of war premium in. And then lastly, kind of, I think, an argument that's really got the trade's attention was on Friday, you had India, one of the most populous countries in the world, came out and said, hey, their wheat stocks are essentially at 16-year lows. And the reason why they're at 16-year lows is it's not because they had production failure. It's because they've been essentially selling wheat out of their reserves to essentially fight inflation. Now, inflation is going on in the United States. We know that, but it's not just a U.S. problem. It is a world problem. Well, what they're doing is they're selling wheat out of their reserves to drive down the price of wheat because, what do you know, they're in a big presidential election year trying to keep food prices cheap. Well, this could become an interesting situation dynamic because as we see how their wheat crop progresses, if it is a shortfall, they're going to have to come in and buy wheat on the world market. But even if it's not a shortfall, but inflation kind of comes in and starts driving the domestic prices of India wheat higher, there is a very good shot that India will be forced to come into the world market, in essence, driving the world prices higher in attempts to drive their domestic prices lower. So you've got all those different factors essentially coming together, with a fund position that's carrying this massive short position. If you look at the CFTC report last week, they actually added to their Chicago and KC wheat positions. And I think the last 2 days of trading, you're seeing some of these funds go, all right, we've got too big of a bet of a bearish position on for what's going on right now. And that's pulling the wheat up. And that is essentially spilling into the grain market at the moment. The other grain markets, I should say.
Yeah, well, and like to your point, all that combination of factors here kind of helping wheat being this upside leader. I wonder though, in the case of quarter beans, yes, we've seen gains, but I feel like maybe are they getting capped by some farmers selling here, possibly, Jim? Not only US, but even South America as well. It just feels like wheat is trying to drag quarter beans along with it. And it is to some degree, but also it feels like we're kind of bumping up against some resistance here in the quarter bean markets.
There's no doubt about it. I think you are seeing some of the short covering. You're seeing the wheat. The funds are short corn and wheat, or corn and beans, like everything else. If you look at the ag sector as a whole, Jesse, as of the CFTC report last Friday, they're not as big as a short as they were carrying earlier this year, but they're dang near close to it. So they're all in. So they are getting out, but there's no doubt about it. We are running into producer hedging. I know I had some of my own clients who have sold some grain on this uptick. They've got a decent basis in certain locations of the country. Now you got the board firming up a little bit. You do have May options going off the board here at the end of the week. And you have some clients, no doubt, that maybe had some contracts against the May futures and they're pricing that out. The other thing, remember, is like you said, the producer right now, when you remember the quarterly grain stock report, as of March 1, the producer had about a billion more bushels of corn on hand than they had a year ago. Now, remember, the projected carryout is going to be about a little over $2 billion here at the end of summer. So there's a lot of grain that needs to be moved. And I think you're right. We are capping some of that. You know, the corn market is in the bean market to a certain extent are definitely hitting a little bit more resistance than the wheat market. You know, our wheat producers right now, the further west you go, like I said, it's very dry right there. So they're very hesitant to sell. So you're not getting that hedge pressure you're seeing. Now, the corn market, you're seeing old crop sales, but you're also seeing some new crop sales. It's kind of been a weird dynamic this spring. It seems like either you didn't go at all the last week, 10 days, or you went crazy getting some of this corn planted. And I think, you know, in general, with a $2 billion-plus carryout, you know, rallies are meant to be sold. And like you said, I think that is capping it a little bit.
Well, and with that, too, corn's just there hasn't been much to talk about in this corn market. And so I'm trying to get some of that farmer selling, as you mentioned. And with soybeans too, it's felt like to me that soybeans have kind of been in this downtrending channel of sort. And I've been a little more concerned about the soybean charts, but yet, you know, same thing with corn here. Both are kind of getting pulled higher by weeds and kind of maybe bucking some of that bearish sideways-esque trade that we've got accustomed to here over the last few weeks, Jim.
I mean, you're right, Jesse. I mean, we've been in a downward trend. I think the beans are probably the bigger concern at the moment. Look at the bean oil. Bean oil market's been struggling a little bit here recently. I mean, the fact is, a year ago, we would have talked, bean oil was a story. Everyone was very bulled up on bean oil demand on this whole renewable diesel. And I think that is a story to be told. And I think it's a story that's going to be very exciting. But the reality is, at the moment, you're getting other vegetable oils that are competing right now with bean oil, and they're winning at the moment on the price point. The other thing is we're just not exporting a whole lot of beans. Our window to export beans is shutting very, very quick. If you look at inspections and sales, once we get to this time of year, we pretty much lose market share to the Brazilians and the Argentinians, and we struggle to do it. So you're down to the domestic crush. So the bean market's probably going to struggle the most unless you really get into the weather situation. Remember, that acreage survey also suggests some more bean acres for this upcoming year. So if you get those big bean acres planted, it's just going to be one more resistance point on the market. The corn situation is a little bit more dynamic in the fact that we are in our window where we tend to export a little bit more grain. We are close to being price competitive since the day to day with what's going on in South America, but we usually have a decent window for it. The corn acreage, 90 million acres with trend line yield of 180. If you leave demand unchanged year on year, you'll add a couple hundred million to the pile. If the corn acreage ends up being over 90 million acres, it could be a little bit more negative. But so the corn might have a little bit more bullish story, but I want to be, want to make it clear. I'm friendly near term, but I think in general, you got to look for rallies to be sold because the dynamic, unfortunately, still is a little bit negative in the broad picture without a weather problem.
Well, and once again, that is the voice of Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net. He's our guest analyst here today on Market Talk, and we're going to continue our conversation coming up. I want to talk a little bit more in this grain trade and maybe some of the demand concerns that still remain out there in these markets. Also, want to get to livestock trade, talk about that good day in hogs, testing some of the recent highs on Tuesday. The cattle market's an okay day there, more so in feeder cattle than in fat cattle. We're going to talk more analysis with Jim McCormick of AgMarket.net on the way right after this.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
The views and opinions of this program are those of the hosts, guests, and callers. There is substantial risk of loss in trading futures and options, which you should carefully consider prior to trading.
The market news and analysis you need here on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net joining us here today on Market Talk. Jim, I want to throw an idea out here for you that we can talk about a little more on this demand side. As you kind of referenced there, you know, soybean demand for the U.S. has not been great. This is kind of our corn window right now. There's been a lot of talk, especially on like Capitol Hill, with this ag trade deficit and talk of some of the tariffs that are still in place on China and the U.S.-China relations and where's China in these grain markets, et cetera, et cetera. Just I wonder if with how the trade flows have shifted, if maybe these markets got to get used to a new normal, to use that term, so to speak, here as China's largely going to South America and other places for their grain right now. I mean, what do you think about this overall demand picture? Are we trying to adjust to a new way of life, so to speak?
I think we're going to have to, Jesse. I mean, that's the brutal reality. The dynamic's changing. Brazil's got more acreage to plant. I mean, I saw one estimate, I say suggesting as much as 90 million acres of ground in Brazil, not rainforest, ground that used to be pasture. That is arable. They just need the investment to put that money in to get that up and going. And they're asking for international investment for it. They will get that international investment, and they'll probably get it from the Chinese. Remember, the Chinese also came in here, what, a year and a half ago, and signed the standards to start importing Brazilian corn. And I think that was a game changer. So where we used to be the situation where China came in and bought a lot of our product first, I think we are going to be the second store. You know, if Brazil doesn't have it, they will end up coming to us, but they're not going to come to us first. Part of its currencies, part of its politics. I mean, right now, when you look at the bean sales, China normally has purchased at least some new crop sales. Last report I saw, China has not bought any new crop beans. And I think that is a concern for us near term. Part of it's probably the tariffs. Remember, President Trump put tariffs on. President Biden did not relieve those tariffs. He kept them on. And then, you know, the fact is we're getting the political season. Now, you know, I think earlier in the year, the Chinese were very leery about what Trump was going to, President Trump could do if he gets reelected, because he's talking about more tariffs. The number fluctuates depending on the speech, but in general, more tariffs. I think that's got the Chinese worried. But, you know, President Biden didn't exactly shy away from it, because now he's talking about putting tariffs on steel. And, you know, it's kind of that tit for tat type of situation we're seeing. Is just encouraging situation, you know, demand to essentially move away from the U.S. And like I said, the Brazilians got the land to take advantage of it, and they're going to. Now, it's not all that dire. I want to stress, because right now what I just said was pretty dang gone doom and gloom. But there is definitely going to be some opportunity. And I think in the long run, it's going to be very good. Renewable diesel. That is taking off fast and furious. There are a lot of plants around the countries that are being built as we speak, and that'll be coming online here at the end of the year and through 2025. And I think that's going to be very, very good. I mean, originally when we heard all these renewable diesel plants coming online, Jesse, you might remember there's a lot of people saying, oh my God, we're never going to produce enough beans to meet that demand. And I think what you're going to see is we're going to continue to lose export market share. And as we lose that market share, we're just going to keep it more and more domestically, which may be better off in the long run. It's going to employ U.S., you know, U.S. workers. And on top of it, it's going to be more sustainable and more stable, kind of like ethanol, where you know how many billions of gallons or billions of bushels of corn we're going to use in ethanol. You're going to start seeing that for beans. And the bean situation is coming on quick. Now, the corn, it's a little bit more of a struggle. That is going to be the renewable, that's going to be that SAF, essentially turning ethanol into aviation. That technology is there from what I can see, but it's not able to do it on a mass proportion. Mm-hmm. But the technology's there. The willpower is potentially there between not just farmers, but big oil per se. So I am optimistic that we are going to see a shift in that. And I think it's going to be important as we lose demand of ethanol to electric cars, which is still the trend over the next 10 to 15 years, as well as we're going to lose market share due to the Brazilians, I fear. So I think it's a situation, it's going to take time, but I think in the long run, we are going to see a nice domestic demand for these products. I think that'll be very good. That transition, though, as you see transitions from time to time, it usually is going to be a little bit rougher than we want. And if I got to be a little bit more doom and gloom on one thing, it's going to be more the corn than the more the corn than the beans. Simply, like I said, this corn situation of changing it to jet fuel is a lot more complicated process, and we're not there. Part of the other problem we've got to get is this carbon capture. I mean, it's kind of a two-edged sword. The whole idea, Jesse, to get jet fuel green is you got to get the corn green, in essence, to essentially get the credits. To get the corn green, I understand you've got to get this carbon capture. And that's where the problem comes into is we got to get the pipelines laid. And it's going to be a little bit political fight to get this through, it looks like. But I think that is where we will eventually get there. But it's going to take time.
Well, and with all that in mind and the shifting demand dynamics, I think it comes back to, you know, some folks are maybe waiting for this big demand-led rally in the grains that may or may not happen. So you kind of have to take all of this into account and be a smart risk manager right now, don't you, Jim?
I believe so. I mean, the reality is, I think we, you know, I think if we're going to have a rally, it's going to be a weather-driven rally. It is not going to be a demand-driven rally from what I can see right now. You know, unless the South America Brazilian, you know, Safrina crop just falls on its face here and there's no one looking for that. We know the Argentina corn crop's a little bit lower, but there's enough grain in the world to get by, you know, to our crop. And if we have a normal crop, the world's going to continue to build on ending stocks. So the idea that we're going to get China to come in and buy a lot of corn and a lot of beans right now, I just don't see it at the moment. Yes, I think we've got maybe a story in the wheat, but the reality is we harvest wheat 11 months out of the year. So it's hard to keep a wheat story going overall. So the risk we believe here at our group is to the downside. And, you know, when we get opportunities, they always say you get an opportunity once or twice to sell corn profitable. We're going to argue you get that opportunity, you need to take it. And then if you want to defend against the what if, and the what if is going to be, let's be honest, Jesse, is a hot, dry summer. And that's all going to determine, I believe, on how quick La Nina comes in. The quicker La Nina comes in, the more risk we have of having a hot, dry summer. If the La Nina takes its little bit of a time and it shows up in late August, September, we set ourselves up for a potentially very good crop. Timing is everything, as they say. So I think you've got to be prepared for the bearish side, because the reality is if we happen to have a very bearish move down into the fall, it could really get tough into 2025. Statistically, real quick, I know we've taken a long time. If you look at historically, when you have stocks to use from like 2014 to 2019, stocks to use from 12 to 15%. Corn prices went to 350 on the cash market, plus or minus 20 cents. The board went below 350. So if we have a decent crop and you're talking stocks use 15, 60% on this new crop, I think there's a legit probability corn could go down to 350. Well, the reality is if you got Dec 24 corn down at 350, what's the best case scenario? Dec 25 corn, 375, 390, maybe $4. Nobody can make money in Dec 24 corn. So there's a lot of pressure to make sure you make money, I believe, in 24, because if you swing and miss and don't get this grain marketed, 25 could be very, very tough with normal weather.
Real quick on livestock trade as we wrap up here today, Jim. Cattle is a mixed bag. Feeders had more follow-through on Tuesday after that Fredlink cattle on feed report Friday. Hogs testing some of the recent highs. It feels like in this protein sector overall, we're kind of getting back to trading fundamentals here, more so than news headlines like the HPAI news. Your quick thoughts in livestock trade?
Real quick today, a lot of it was spread trade, buying the hogs, selling the cattle. A lot of guys are jumping on that trade pretty hard. Hogs look like they could go back up to the highs. It looks like tight supply moving in. Cattle's an interesting situation. The headline broke the market, obviously, on the bird flu. It's moved to the back burner. The overall supply is still very tight. Tightest supply, what, in 50, 55 years. But if you look at the amount of cattle coming at the market right here, right now, they are heavy. We do have a decent supply of beef. So it's going to be a situation of supply versus demand. Supply is a little bit worrisome at the moment, but demand right now, Jesse, overall looks still very good. A lot of people are worried about the economy. I know I'm worried about the economy, but the reality is good, bad, right, wrong, that consumer continues to want to spend money, go out to eat, and go on vacation. Airlines are looking for flat, you know, packed jets this summer. That tells me it's going to be a summer of spending a lot of money, and that traditionally is bullish beef.
We could probably go another hour, but we're up against the clock. I know folks could find you and the team there at agmarket.net very easily online, agmarket.net. Jim McCormick, Jim, it's always great to talk with you, sir. Thanks for joining us. Have a great week. We'll talk to you again soon.
Thanks again for having me, Jesse.
Always full of knowledge and wisdom. Appreciate it. Jim McCormick there with agmarket.net. Again, find them online. Very easy. Agmarket.net. Or give them a call, 844-4-AG-MARKET. Appreciate Jim being with us here today. Some of the closes again real quick from Tuesday. May corn up 3 1/4, 443. December new crop corn, 2 1/4 higher, 474 3/4. May beans up 6 1/2, 1167 1/2. November beans, new crop up 2 1/4, 1174. May bean meal up 90 cents a ton, 345.20. May bean oil up 27 points, 45.31. Chicago wheat, May 14 3/4 higher, 585. July up 15 1/4, 602 3/4. Kansas City wheat, May up 11 1/4, 608 3/4. July up 11 3/4, 614 1/4. May spring wheat up 10 3/4, 666 1/2. July spring wheat up 9 1/2, 672 1/4. Oats for the May contract up 4 3/4, 367 1/4. Live cattle April down 47, 183.35. June down 90, 177.15. April feeder cattle up 85, 243.75. May up 87, 246.05. May hogs up 187, 98.57. June hogs up 245, 107.95. May cotton 18 points higher, 80.22. July cotton down 70 points, 81.72. All right, we'll take a look at news headlines and wrap up the program. We'll be back with more Market Talk right after this.
Make sure to subscribe to the Market Talk YouTube channel. You can watch our latest interviews with top market analysts in the country, find bonus content, and much more. It's easy. Just go to youtube.com/@MarketTalkAg and hit the subscribe button. Or you can search for Market Talk Ag on YouTube.
If you miss an episode of Market Talk, you can listen back to the show anytime. Just search for Market Talk on your podcast platform of choice, and you can hear past episodes of the program on demand.
Market information that matters to you on Market Talk. Now, back to Jesse Allen.
All right, welcome back to Market Talk. Thanks again to Jim McCormick with AgMarket.net for joining us here on the program today. Always good to talk with Jim and get his thoughts and advice on what's happening in the market trade. And no doubt, an interesting dynamic right now in these markets as we head to the back half of the month of April. All right, well, let's take a look at news headlines in agriculture before we run out of time here on today's program. Well, Archer Daniels Midland's Chief Financial Officer Vikram Luthar will resign effective on September 30th of this year amid a federal investigation into the company's accounting practices. ADM said in a filing Monday with the U.S. Securities and Exchange Commission that Luthar will receive an annual cash performance award of $743,419, as well as company shares for his 2021 performance. Luther is the top executive to leave the firm since ADM disclosed accounting problems in its nutrition division. The U.S. government initiated two investigations and was required to revise 6 years of financial reports. Luther was placed on administrative leave beginning in January of this year when ADM launched an internal investigation. He joined ADM in 2004 as CFO of its nutrition division after a stint with General Motors, and he became ADM's overall CFO in 2022. The company reported Monday that it reached a transition agreement with Luther. ADM said in a 10-K filing with the SEC, quote, "Until such resignation date, Mr. Luther will be available to assist the company and provide transitional support as needed as a non-executive employee," end quote. As part of the resignation agreement, ADM said Luther, quote, "agrees to reasonably cooperate," end quote, "in connection with any matter with which the ADM colleague was involved or any existing or potential claim, investigation, administrative proceeding, lawsuit, or other legal or business matter," quote unquote. Reuters reported in March that current and former ADM employees received grand jury subpoenas from the U.S. Department of Justice, which typically order the production of documents or to provide testimony. The Canadian government says an $18 billion joining of grain giants Viterra Limited and competitor Bunge Limited is likely to lead to, quote, "substantial anti-competitive effects in agricultural markets," end quote, and take away the rivalry between the two companies in many markets. The Canadian Competition Commission issued a report Tuesday on the acquisition, which has already been approved by Bunge Limited shareholders. The two companies combined for nearly $115 billion in revenue in 2023 globally and more than $5 billion in earnings before taxes, depreciation, and amortization. The companies announced their merger last June. The report goes to Canada's Minister of Transport, which will make another assessment. A final decision later this year will be made by Canada's cabinet over whether to allow the merger within Canada or place conditions on it. In a joint statement, Bunge and Viterra said the concerns were misplaced and they still expect to receive the required regulatory approval and complete the sale in mid-2024. While U.S. regulators have not weighed in on the sale, Canadian agricultural groups last fall called for both federal and provincial governments to conduct merger reviews. Well, Oklahoma farmer Keith Felty is president of the National Association of Wheat Growers. In his travels, Felty has kept track of the nation's winter wheat crop and says it looks good.
Wheat crop is doing better than it has in the last several years, especially in my part of the state. We've had way more rain than we've had for the last 2 years, and it looks like a decent crop if we can go ahead and get good weather to finish it out and see where we wind up.
He talks about the wheat crop in 2024 compared to the last few years.
Well, this year was one of those that we had good moisture get it up, and for the most part, it really didn't have to struggle a whole lot. We got timely rains the whole year. 2 years ago, we got it up, and then we suffered, and we had a short crop, and some acres not harvested. And then last year, we were able to get it up and suffered in the middle, and had some weather to finish up and have some really decent yields, especially in certain areas. So this year was kind of one, so far, has been continually a nice year.
Again, Keith Felty is president of the National Association of Wheat Growers. Well, President Biden has proposed tripling steel and aluminum tariffs on China, but his ag secretary argues provoking China may be at the root of a rising farm trade deficit. Top Senate Finance Republican Mike Crapo brought up the steel tariff issue with U.S. Trade Rep Katherine Tai urging she quickly finish a required tariff review and act.
It's my understanding that President Biden has recommended that there be a tripling of our tariffs on steel and aluminum for China. And the question I have is, when are we going to get an answer? When will this investigation end and a decision be made?
We are in very, very advanced stages of our interagency work, and then I expect that we will come to conclusion very soon.
Yet Secretary Tom Vilsack had this possible explanation for the growing U.S. ag trade deficit in an exchange with top GOP Senate Ag Appropriator John Hoeven at a recent hearing.
Our trade deficit for the first 3 months of fiscal year 24 was $6 billion. Bought $6 billion more than we sold. China purchased $6 billion less.
Yeah, I knew that's where you were going. Yeah. Coincidence, no, right?
Well, look, if you continually wrap your number one customer, it's not surprising that your number one customer would send you a signal about, hey, we're paying attention. So what has to happen, I think, is a much more nuanced and sophisticated conversation about China.
But President Biden has left U.S. tariffs imposed by President Trump in place on hundreds of billions in Chinese goods, while Beijing's kept its retaliatory tariffs on U.S. farm goods like soybeans, and it's failed to live up to its phase one commitments to the U.S. to buy more farm goods. Well, the USDA and the U.S. Agency for International Development will deploy $1 billion in Commodity Credit Corporation funding to buy U.S. commodities to provide emergency food assistance around the world. USDA Ag Secretary Tom Vilsack says, quote, America's farmers are the most productive and efficient in the world, and we rely on them to supply safe and nutritious food not only to our nation but to the global community. The U.S. produces more commodities than we could consume, so we have the opportunity to partner with USAID and extend this food to those in our global community who are struggling, end quote. An initial $950 million will support the purchase, shipment, and distribution of U.S. wheat, rice, sorghum, lentils, chickpeas, dry peas, vegetable oil, cornmeal, navy beans, pinto beans, and kidney beans. These are commodities that align with traditional USAID international food assistance programming. USAID has selected 18 countries for the initial round of support. And with that, we are out of time. That's a look at news headlines here today on Market Talk. Thanks, as always, for joining us. Again, a mostly quiet, mixed market day on Tuesday. A little more follow-through of that wheat trade. We'll see where things go here as we get to the middle of the week. We're going to talk with Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics coming up on tomorrow's Market Talk. Looking forward to that discussion, as always. For now, I'm your host, Jesse Allen. Thanks for listening to Market Talk. Have a great rest of your day.